から俺はお前のコーチになる。そしてグランプリファイナルで優勝させるぞ。
This is Japanese Lunchtime Rush。
ああ、お望み通り教えてやるよ、本物のメガロボックスをな。
I can't believe it! Both of the players are down! How on earth do we decide the outcome? Will this go down in the record books as an incomplete game?
Hello everyone, and welcome once again to Chance Bowl, sports anime podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Colazzo, and the New York Baseball Metropolitans are currently 10-8.
They're still in playoff contention.
We're so back.
People said it wouldn't happen.
We're so back. They started 0-5, they turned it around. World Series, here we come.
They're peaking at the right time.
With me, as always, Dr. Fricks Oglesby, PhD.
How's it going? If you'd like, you can also call me Dudley Dudewipe.
Oh, pretty good.
I was excited about that one.
Yeah. I like that one.
I was getting off of work, and I was saying Dudley Dudewipe over to myself yeah. over and over again, so I didn't mess it up.
How can I use this? How can I put this to...
I was like, we haven't done a Dudewipe one yet. Mm-hmm. I think I've done, like, Flushable Wipe Goodman at some point, but not Dudewipe. Mm-hmm. And then we got
Are
there.
They... I could never bring myself to even be seen examining the product in store because of, you know, the kind of marketing of it.
You're a 21st century man. You don't need the butt rock monitor.
Are dude wipes like for your body or for your ass?
I think they are like advertised as being all purpose. Like you can just use them on like stinky armpit, but you can also use them as flushable wipes.
So they're
for
like
your asshole.
The 3-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, body wash.
Yeah, thing. It's just, and I'm sure it helps.
Uh huh.
You know.
Yeah.
But in the same way that like no like flushable wipes are famously like not flushable, and also they give your asshole itch for the rest of your life, mm-hmm. which I've heard and didn't happen to me specifically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it's like if you just like sold people like bath towels, you could still call it a flushable wipe, but it would still technically
it's like yes, because technically it is flushable. It will go down the drain, but you won't like what happens.
Yeah.
Mm. We're back with Kuroko's Basketball, episodes 17 and 18 of season 2. Brooks, what That's did right. you think of these episodes?
I enjoyed them. At the end of the day,
we have reached the 100%. physical exertion limit of Kuroko's Basketball.
Yeah, and the ultimate basketball begins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ever since we started this show, I'm just getting DMs from people being like, holy shit, when you get to the zone, it's gonna be so good. I'm like, I know.
Uh-huh.
I know, I like it. It's yeah. good.
Yeah, me when I'm in the movie Stalker. It's a good episode. Mm-hmm. It's a good... It was so good that, like, I know that we weren't assigned the half episode, but I was I need a little bit... Maybe just, like, a little extra treat just for me.
And I'm glad I didn't take notes on it, but it was, like, flashback. Like, not even in-universe flashback. It was just, like, for us, the viewers, to see Kuroko in his first day of school at middle school with the greatest generation of basketball players ever assembled.
Yeah.
And him hanging out with Aomine, who is like smiling and nice and taking an interest in other humans.
It's weird because you know something happened, you know,
yeah.
like because you meet little Momoi is here. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh no, there's a ghost bouncing a ball in the loser gym and nobody's there. I wonder if there's a guy I can't see in there. Mm-hmm. And then like little Aomine shows up, even though he's like, I'm scared of ghosts. Like I need a Scooby snack. A completely different guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like less ballin' than baby Aomine, which was very troubling to me.
Yeah.
Because we've
mm-hmm.
seen him at, like, age 4,
mm-hmm.
just completely, like, breaking ankles and, like, sending Smash McDoubles all over the place.
Yeah.
But then, like, he becomes, like, 11, mm-hmm. and he just, like, I don't know, he regresses into, like, a nice boy. He's sort of, like, Daichi-coded for a while.
I do like that his, like, descent into madness is literally he just got too good at basketball.
Yeah,
like it's
exactly.
not like it's not like he saw like the dark side of travel basketball or something, or like his parents are pressuring him. He just was too good and then got pissed off because no one could
yeah.
beat him at basketball.
I wrote like a normal amount of thoughts on the episode, and I don't want to go through everything obviously, but just to like hit a couple of like pressure points.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anything about Kuroko, his home life?
No. I think he has a sibling. I could be wrong about that.
Because I was watching him eat his burger with baby small Aomine, and he's eating like small bites from the top burrito style, which made me feel like he must be some kind of like
mm-hmm.
street child. Like, yeah. He seems like he must sort of...
This is slight spoilers, but later on, I know there is one game before, like, some big game, we go to all the members of Saren's households and see, like, what their morning routine is. And I do believe Kogane's entire family looks like him.
Okay, it's sort of like a Neku Atsume situation.
Yeah. Like, the sister looks exactly like him, but has a red bow in her hair, you know?
Oh, that's tremendous.
So
there's still good stuff
to
look forward to post-zone. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Aomine was too evil and didn't give Kuroko his fist bump, and that kind of changed the trajectory of their lives, so...
Yeah.
You also saw, like, the purple guy was there, and he was still, like, 7'6" in middle school, so...
Yeah, he was eating, like, a fun-size fun dip to show that he's smaller, but he's still 7'6".
Yeah.
I just also... The last thing I wanted to say is that, like, oh, God, yeah, I don't want to talk about this episode anymore because I forgot that Imayoshi shows up. And, yeah, he's the one who's like, would you like to come be evil with me?
He shows up like the fucking evil photographer or whatever from One with the Wind that you're like, this guy's up to no good.
God, that guy sucked. Mm. But, yeah, it just seems like we're big points heads. Like, we love rewards and we love points and we love scoring and we love leaderboards, like, in anything we do, right? Mm-hmm. The whole episode is Aomine just being like, I don't want to practice. He either needs vitamin B12 or he needs some sort of, like, reward system where it's like every hour you practice, you get 10 points. And then, like, for every 100 points, you get a $5 Amazon gift card. Like, I feel like that's all he needs.
He needs some type of rewards. He needs, like, stickers. He needs to be, you know, the good egg or something. Otherwise, you can't keep him motivated.
Yeah, I just feel like it's... It feels like nobody really tried to motivate him with anything like that before. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it happened off screen, but the closest thing he got was, like, a close personal friendship with Kuroko's basketball. But perhaps we'll learn about that in the two major episodes that we covered today.
Episode
starting with
17, I Believe. You gotta believe. So last time, we you know, Aomine did a cool dunk, and then Mr. Ectron Overflow and the Darkness Man, Imayoshi, was there. And in my notes, I do have, this recap was 2 minutes and 30 seconds, so this episode better be really good.
Yeah, and then they'd better be spending the other 22 minutes doing really entertaining shit. And you're worried at first, because you start back into the present after having, like, a boys' friendship, close personal relationship episode. And then the crux of what's happening is, oh no, Imayoshi is using his forbidden technique known as defense.
Yeah, he's playing defense on Kuroko and, like, watching him with his eyes closed.
He's, like, squatting and standing between the hoop and Kuroko.
With his hand outstretched.
Impeding a wide open drive to the hoop. Yeah. Oh no, how's he gonna get in there?
The first thing I have is Hyuga's, like, trying to motivate the team, and he says, we'll take it 3 points at a time, which is good advice.
Shut up, man.
Because 3 is more than 2.
He does, it's a solid, hard to argue with the plan. Like, you know, if you score 3 points at a time, you will ultimately reduce the deficit unless the team also does that against you, which is true.
Do you remember when the apologetic mushroom guy, he gets better when he plays a good opponent?
Is that, I remember the insult apologetic mushroom.
That's the guy, that's what Hyuga calls the guy who's always crying. And then 2 episodes ago, they said he always plays better when his opponent is better, and then he's kind of just been guarding Hyuga with his hand outstretched this entire game.
Okay, so. I have other evil Hyuga in parentheses Sakurai. Is that him?
Probably.
He's the one who pulls up for a 3, but, like, his form is, like, so bad that he passes off to Aomine instead.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Well, it's 75-68 right now, which is not an insurmountable lead, but... You have to remember that Aomine is out there doing James Harden-type maneuvers and doing a 360 backflip in the air and getting fouled on it, so he gets the end one.
That's the thing is, like, they're triple-teaming, like, and it's like, oh, we need to stop Aomine to win. We're never going to win in a shootout with him because he's out there doing James Harden shit. And I think I've talked about this before, but, like, I think at this moment I'm like, I hate to say it, but they need to start playing Hanamiya's basketball if they want to get rid of Aomine. Like,
you gotta break that boy's legs.
And, like, I don't even know if that would stop him, you know? Like, he would probably just, like, loosen him up better.
Even if they triple team him, like, even when he's off the ball, but even by trying to escape the triple team, it's like he's being pressed in the pear wiggler. You know what I mean? Like, that's gonna, like, lower.
Yeah, you're
his...
putting more pressure on this diamond, brother.
Yeah, exactly. That's gonna you know, stall him a little bit. But they're down by 10, and there's 6 minutes left in the game, and they're triple teaming a guy, which is always a good sign.
Yeah, for sure.
I forget who, but someone in the crowd says, if they can't stop Almine, Saren has no chance of winning. And it's like, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Though it would be a good time to unlock some sort of, like, super ability and, like, go beyond your limits in some way. This would be, like, the ideal time to do that.
And Almine says, bet, and he misses.
Yeah.
I've unlocked a new technique. It's called this grainy underhook worst shot you've ever seen.
So, Kuroko has some fucking scheme where he's like, actually, I'm gonna let Almine past me, not because I'm a bad defender, but I'm gonna trick him into doing it. So I appear in his peripheral vision like a little boy, which causes him to miss the midair upside down granny shot. And then everyone is making fucking anime faces because Almine missed a single shot that he was like spinning through the air. Though I do imagine, like, here I go, I'm gonna do the fadeaway jumper, and then you just see, like, a little tiny blue boy in the corner of your eye. That would you know. Oh, what's that?
Oh, fuck.
So Saren has activated the full court press. They're all over these guys.
Yeah. And Kuroko's looking mad. Like, he...
But it's not even... Usually, Kuroko gets mad when it's, like, they're playing, like, shameful, disgraceful basketball and not playing as a team. Here, he's just mad because they're losing.
Like, yeah, he's like... He looks like the he-thought-school-was-only-for-one-day picture.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's grumpy.
Kuroko steals it and passes it to Hyuga, who goes up for a shot. And then he just takes a full-on high-fly flow from this kid.
Yeah, like, that was cool.
He just hits him with the crossbody. See, that's what Saren needs to be doing to Almine.
I wish it was happening to a guy I liked less, but if you want to win, that is what you need to do.
You gotta start hitting at least your signature moves, if not your finisher.
Yeah.
Like, hitting them with something.
The Shimada Martins, that's what they should be talking about here. They don't know ball, though, so they just all, like, 600 of them in unison say to each other, you know, if you get fouled while shooting a three-pointer, that's three shots, and that can cut the deficit to 3 points, which is one possession, which is halfway to tying it. Like, Midorima saying that shit, and it's like, that's not...
Yeah.
That's like a Takao thing for sure. That's not Midorima. Yeah,
he just likes talking.
He knows
about
what a three-pointer is.
Like, he just likes any opportunity, regardless of how, like, rudimentary it is. He's going to tell you about the three-pointer. You know?
Right.
So Almine has, like, the darkness man face at this point, after Hyuga makes a three-pointer.
He's doing the Kubrick stare at this point, now that the deficit's down to three.
He gets the ball and just fucking teleports behind Kagami. Instant transmission. Just
lays it up easy style. He's loving it.
And everyone is we all get cut-ins of everyone making shocked anime face. No way, that's impossible. Is he in... the zone?
And then the fucking JoJo announcer shows up. So
you realize you're in for some shit because zone is capitalized.
Uh-huh.
Zone. Only those who have practiced earn the right to stand before the door. Yeah. However, Almine senses almost mockingly open the door on their own.
Pretty good, man. I love to enter the ultimate domain only open to the chosen, for sure.
Yes.
And it's a cool thing to say. It's kind of Kagami style, though, right? Because the whole metaphor is they go, like, Almine went into the truth zone, and he like forced the doors open himself. But I feel like a couple weeks ago, didn't Kagami like dunk so hard that he did that too?
Yeah, there was like a ripple in the space time continuum and all the generations.
Yeah, everybody sensed a disturbance in the Generation of Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably nothing.
What's his name? Akashi, who's on the sidelines, tells us, the viewer, that this is Almine's true form, and he has blue lightning eyes.
Yeah, he's looking like Dwayne the Rock Johnson. And
welcome to the fucking zone era, bro.
Says, I'm the final boss. Let's go.
We made it.
Kuroko crybabies.
I do wonder if the players can see the lightning eyes.
They kind of better.
Yeah, because they all immediately know, like, that guy looks different, and then you just see like flames coming from his head. Like, yeah. I feel like.
Oh yeah, I out of hand reject the idea that they don't see that shit. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like they all saw the fadeaway jumper the way that we saw it. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Me posting like online in 2007 or whatever, video of Japanese basketball teenager shooting beams from his hand. Me posting on YouTube. Is this real?
Yeah. Almine shocks Saren by speaking perfect Mandarin.
Yeah.
Wow, he's in the zone.
Shoots perfect fadeaway jumper by speaking 1996 Chicago Bulls.
Wow.
He did it.
He's out there. He's crossing people up like the Pillar Men did.
He's attaching them all by the hand.
Izuki is now fused with Mitobe, very sad.
Bro, Izuki really thought he was going to get that pass. Like, he's I'm open, big dog.
He went up to guard him in the same way that Theon went up to guard the Night King. Like, I got him, I'll 1v1 him, no problem.
Almina just used extreme speed and immediately grabs the pass out of midair and starts, like, charging towards the basket.
And Kagami says, time out, I want him one-on-one. Do you have a plan? No. Let's go.
Did you know it's normally impossible to play at 100% of your potential? However, being in the zone makes that possible. And it's so dangerous because Almina's 100% is unknown. This has never happened before. We're in uncharted territories. And it's kind of like he's the same but better.
Yeah, so, it's not only possible, it's allowed.
It's allowed, yeah, exactly. So 5 minutes left in this game. It's 83-90, which is not great. But still, you know, still could come back.
Yeah.
Almina is just flinging shit out there. He's just tossing that ball wherever. It doesn't matter.
And he's saying shit, too. Like, he says, your light is too dim in perfect Mandarin to his opponent.
That's so hard. That's so good.
He says that shit to Tepe, who's the coolest one on Saren.
Someone says that to you on the basketball court, you have to retire.
Yeah, like, dude.
It doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah, you gotta go listen to Drake and get emotional when he says, let the lights dim some, because it reminds you of what Almina said to you.
Saren thankfully takes a timeout, and Kagami's like, yeah, I know what we can do. Put me one-on-one against the guy who's bursting with electric energy. Like, okay, man. Do you have a plan? No. Thanks, Captain.
And Hyuga says, I'm going to allow this.
Yeah, what else do we have?
Well, have fun, man.
So then there is a point where Almina, he tells Saren their light is too dim and they all just do the okay face and kind of go back to their side of the court.
Yeah, the misdirection overflow is about to run out, isn't it? Sad.
It is, but luckily before it does, the ball is slapped out of bounds and Kuroko does the epic dive and throws
the
ball out.
He does the Hinata cinematic parallel of hauling ass and running into the wall for no reason.
He does the WWE barricade spot to himself.
He charges up his finisher meter and he activates the OMG moment in the corner.
Luckily, Tepe makes the single layup, which gives them 2 points.
Yeah.
Kuriko gets up from like the dust that has settled and he says, an ace carrying his teammates' wishes cannot lose, which is what Hiroshi Tanahashi said before he was made president of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
That's true.
So what happens? Okay, 93-98. Now there's 2 minutes. Kagami starts having like a mental crisis because he's like, "Oh, I'm so weak. I can't do anything."
But I'm sick of seeing my close personal friend Kuroko cry. So it ends now.
So there is a montage. He's like, "I don't want to lose anymore," and it shows like Hyuga shitting his pants. I don't want it to end here. And then it shows Kogane sitting on the bench with a perfectly like neutral expression. And he says,
"He's thinking about those wings he's got in the fridge."
I'm sick of seeing my friends cry. And then it just shows Kuroko crying with the towel over his head. That's his friends, all one of them.
Yeah, donkey. Thanks, Kogane.
That's it. That's it, Kagami. You've boiled down the essence of Zone to its true essentials. He reaches back and just slaps that shit out of Almine's hands.
Bah!
And then they do the very dramatic, like, dun, dun, and the camera pans up, and right before we cut to a commercial, you see the little electric crackle in Kagami's eye, and
the
it's red.
Red electricity red. Sparking out of him.
It's fucking cool, dude.
It's cool. And it's at this moment, I'm like, I don't think I'm quite actively cheering for Saren yet, but I'm pogging huge. Like, I'm the asshole Mark fan who's like, both these guys.
There is a fight forever moment in the next episode.
Yeah. When I remember Imo Yoshi, then I'm like, all right, Saren, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to remember the name of the guy that walked with Kuroko to see the Generation of Miracles, and he was like too stunned by their aura to act.
Oh yeah,
what was that guy's name?
I couldn't fucking tell you.
I was like, yeah, that's our guy Kusakabe, and it's like, no, that's someone from Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah.
So, is it? I'm scrolling.
I replaced all of the like tertiary characters with Mabo in my head.
Oh, Koki Furuhata.
Oh, Furuhata, of course.
Mm-hmm. He apparently is a point guard, and he's not getting any minutes while Izuki's on that team.
Bro, look at my point guard. We are not winning.
And, you know, Izuki's like, you're fine with an Izuki, you know, but I don't know.
You need an Izuki as a control group, for sure. Because if everybody on your team is, like, has glowing red electricity shooting out of them, then like it's not special.
I'm trying to figure out who the most replacement level player is in Kuroko's basketball. Like, who is the single one that's like, this is the bare standard minimum of what you can expect from a Kuroko's basketball player.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we haven't we haven't seen enough of Satoshi Tsuchida, who is apparently on the team.
I could get into Satoshi Tsuchida.
I could get into Vegeta.
Yeah.
So I am just on the Saiyan basketball team page, and in the trivia section, it says, in the Q&A section for volume 13, the question was, who is the most popular guy in the Saiyan team? The answer was Izuki, but with the note that all the girls run away after seeing his joke book. Because I suppose he tells jokes, and that was the thing he did once.
You know, usually I'd be like, well, put that on the fucking show. I don't need to see that on the show. That's fine to have sort of a thing.
Two more fun facts. Izuki is the team's accountant and has to pay a lot after Kagami's binge eating, which is great.
Okay.
Also, Tsuchida is the only team member who is currently dating, so he has GF.
Damn, nobody on Saren knows Ball?
That's why he doesn't get to start. He's too preoccupied with having GF that he can't focus on Ball.
Ah. You know it's hard when, like, Kuroko is your prom date, because it's like, oh, your prom date stood you up, huh? No, hang on, he was right here a second ago. He'll be back.
There is a page... There's a page on the Kuroko no Basuke wiki for Special Sandwich.
Oh, yeah?
The Special Sandwich is a phantom sandwich sold at Saiyan High School. And I love the thing that very specific wikis do, where they try to fit everything into, like, the format that they use. Because, you know, for every player, you're going to have their age, you're going to have their height and their weight, right?
Yeah.
Name, Special Sandwich. Vital statistics, gender, sandwich. Age, less than 1 year old. Height, unspecified. Weight, unspecified. Position, in stomach.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Phantom Sandwich was my favorite Tumblr mutual, who I haven't heard from since 2013, by the way.
If you click on position in stomach, it links you to the page on the Kuroko, to basketball positions. So, okay,
all right. I like that they're having a little fun over there. That's fine.
Yeah, I feel like a Special Sandwich could be like a stretch five, you know?
Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
Has the ability.
Replacement right, level let, stomach.
Let me close this. All right. Also, I did open it into its own. 2 weeks ago. Man, we can't stop talking about hot dogs 2 weeks later. Still talking about hot dogs.
I mean, it was a cool page. I hope, for those of you who haven't paused the show and looked at it, I opened it up again. I gotta get out of here. The fucking JPEG is so fucking crisp. I can't stand it.
It's a new file type that hasn't been invented yet, specifically for the hot dog on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I went to Universal Studios Florida, as I often do, likely thing for me to do, over the weekend. And one of the restaurants there is the Hot Dog Hall of Fame, which I don't think...
Oh, man.
But you hear that, and it's right next to Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. I was going to say Jimmy Fallon's Margaritaville, which is a different thing.
Jimmy Butler's Margaritaville.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel is here. Mm-hmm. And man, I don't want a theme park hot dog when I'm an hour and a half away from my house, but like...
No.
Why would they call it the Hot Dog Hall of Fame unless it's like the best fucking hot dog you've ever had, right?
I mean, it's kind of... They're kind of, you know, talking a big game. So...
And it's like, it's not even... I assumed it was like a hot dog museum, you know, like where you walk, you know, it's got like a Joey Chestnut belt.
Like
in
you
there.
Have to go, you have to go to the room with all the plaques and see like what hat which hot dog wore in its retirement or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the original like passenger door of the Wienermobile.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's just a stand where you can get a hot dog. So if anybody is ever in Universal Studios Florida, check out Hot Dog Hall of Fame and let me know how it is. Thank you.
Anyway. I was trying to be like Gary Carter, very rude for going into the Hot Dog Hall of Fame with an Expos hat as opposed to a Mets hat.
Uh-huh,
very disrespectful.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on? Sorry, I was on the hot dog page too and I got distracted.
Yeah, I want to make money. Do you have any?
Oh, before we make money, I do. Kagami activates the zone, and I wonder if everyone can see the electricity, and then. Aomine says, I take back what I said. Kagami, you're the best. because he called him a poo-poo shitty boy.
Yeah, he shouldn't have said that. Before. Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the next episode, let's check in with the Patreon.com/postgameofthrones.
Please.
Where if you like, you can donate money to us. Thanks. $1 a month gets you all of our bonus content, including Worries and Deeds that I did with Brooks, that's about Metal Gear Solid. Carry Me Home that I did with Kim, that's about Jim Carrey movies. Did you see the Sonic 3 update?
Keanu Shadow, yeah?
Keanu Shadow, pretty good. I'm a real piece of shit because I'm always like, I'm sick of this, like, just casting famous people to be voice actors, because there's people who it's their profession and it's their craft and it's their art, unless it's someone I like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then I'm like, yeah, Keanu should be Shadow. That's good casting, you know?
Yeah, that one makes sense, because it's when he's like, Maria, this is my promise to you, it's going to be like a funny Keanu way of doing that.
Exactly.
And you know they're gonna make Shadow do the like meme Keanu sit on Radical Highway, like that's gonna be like a funny shot.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
About.
There's gonna be like a John Wick moment, you know, where Shadow is like beating guys to death. The Shadow shoots guns, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's gonna like throw a gun at a guy's head and then like stab him through the eye with a ring or something.
Yeah, they're gonna.
That's why it's gonna be the first rated R Sonic movie and not for the way the fans want.
Yeah. Rouge the Bat not appearing, unfortunately.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Man. If like the post credit scene was like Rouge the Bat though, you know that theater would smell fucking crazy. This theater is under quarantine. We have to deep clean it.
Sonic 3 does the worst at the box office, not because like people aren't seeing it, but because after each showing, they just have to shut down that screen for like 3 hours to kind of decontaminate the zone.
Sonic 3 wasn't the most financially successful movie, but everybody who saw it went on to become an animator.
Yeah, yeah. What else? Oh, yeah. 3-star special. We do that. Next movie we're watching is Gerald Maguire with Tom Cruise.
In year two of 3-star special, because our first one was April 13th of last year, so just jotting that down that we kept
year
up
two,
with it.
Year 12, 12 for 12. We did it. Yeah. We're keeping it going.
Yeah, and Sonic 2 are in our backlog on for all of our $1 and above patrons. So,
yes, of course. If you want to hear that commentary, check out Carry Me Home, because we did that already.
We did that shit. Mostly Eddie and Kim did, but I was there sometimes.
You were there as well. $5 gets you shout-outs at the end of episodes, and you can request music for us to listen to on Fun Point, our music podcast. And $10 gets you special user status in the Discord. Patreon.com/postgameofthrones. every episode, we gotta come up with a new $10 bonus. Anyway.
We're too busy watching Jerry Maguire. We're so busy.
Anyway, Kuroko, episode 18. I won't lose. Usually, I'll watch the first recap, because I'm like, what happened 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, that is helpful.
And I'll skip the second one, because I just saw it, but I'm gonna be honest, I watched this shit again.
Yeah, I put that shit on.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm scrolling Twitter and somebody posts, like, the Frieza versus Goku fight, like, I'm gonna spend a couple minutes and just, like, watch them teleport around each other, and that's basically what we're getting here.
I cannot tell you how many times I've gone to YouTube and look for Kagami Almine Epic Zone moments and just watch this scene. But then all the people who upload it, they're like, hi, remaster in 60 FPS, and it just looks fucked up. Like, it doesn't look right,
because
anime shouldn't move that way. But I'll still watch it. You know, I'll still watch them do the moves and stuff.
Yeah, I would go to, like, the IMAX screening of just two episodes of Kuroko Basketball if I got, like, the two-minute zone footage in the same way that I was like, two-minute season 5 Game of Thrones trailer, don't mind if I do.
Yeah, I gotta go to the movie theater for this one.
Yeah.
I did like that all of the other players kind of forgot that they were playing basketball as this happened. Like, they're just kind of standing around watching it, which honestly,
yeah,
I
fucking
understand.
Takao or whoever is like, well, why aren't they passing to anybody else? Wouldn't they also score? If, like, brother, what are you, they're like, why don't they simply let Azuki pull up for a three?
Yeah,
like,
why don't they?
They're seismic tossing each other on the moon.
Like, come on, this is hero bullshit. Izuki should be orchestrating the offense. No,
there should
not
be a hard. Every 5 minutes, the bench should switch with the five people on the court. It's only fair, so everybody gets equal play time. I'm Takao. Like,
you see those two guys You see those two guys are literally bursting with electricity at the moment, right? We can see it physically emanating from their skin.
Yeah, they are. They are large hadron colliding each other over in CERN.
I did
and creating
like
new atoms. And,
the mushroom guy getting the rebound and just standing there with it until Almini has to signal to him, like, pass me the ball this way, and he just does it, and they go off and do their own shit.
Yeah. This shit is so epic that Momoi is getting stressed out and has to think about baby Almini to calm down.
Yeah. Someone does say those two are in a completely different dimension, which is, you know, what you want to hear. My next note is, why are they relying on their aces? Couldn't the other four guys score? No,
shut
idiot!
Up, man.
You fucking imbecile! We also learned Azuki is just, like, catching strays nonstop this episode, because apparently being in the zone gives you eagle eye, apparently.
Yeah, dude. Fuck you, man.
Fuck you, yeah. Not only do you move at 200 miles per hour, and you can do any crossover your brain could possibly imagine, you gain a wider vision of the court as well, so you can ignore your teammates more accurately and just go and score yourself.
Oh, wow, Dio, you can stop time? Well, I can do that, and I have Starfinger, so what now?
So exactly, so fuck you, blown out, your power shit. Bet you can't do this. And then he inhales a huge weed blount right in front of Dio to prove that he can do it. Okay, so... I'm guessing it's Momoi says he looks like he's having fun about Amime, and then fond memories of basketball return.
Right, because he has the same smile that he did when he was having fun as a baby and crossing up adult men on the court.
Which also, I would too, if for like 3.5 minutes I was the best basketball player in the world.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I'd be cheesing that whole time. Like, I'm just draining threes, I'm doing the skip to my loo and shit, and knocking everyone over.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'd be very happy at that point.
Yeah, I'm dunking. My other four teammates are lining up on the sideline like bowling pins and letting me knock them down with the ball.
That's even the thing. If I ever hit a single home run, I'm immediately getting destroyed by the opposing pitcher because I'm like, let's fucking go! Like, I just did the best thing you could do as a hitter.
Yeah, you're a lot like Almine in that way and in other ways where it's like, well, there's the only one who can beat me is me. Like, it's boring now.
Exactly. The pitcher didn't strike me out. I struck myself out because I didn't challenge myself enough to hit the ball, you know?
I did start to get worried at this point. I really thought, like, Almine was going to say some PG WWE writing shit where I thought at the end he was going to be like...
Suffering succotash.
The only one who can beat me is Kagami, not me.
Yeah, not me. It's Kagami.
The only one who can beat me is Kagami. And it's like, I was really getting scared that they were gonna, but luckily the episode was good instead.
They just stop playing and the clock is still ticking on the game, but Almine just takes out a microphone and starts talking to the crowd mid-game kind of promo. It's like, oh, brother, this is storytelling right here.
Yeah, he stops time just so he can, like, do Shawn Michaels shit and look at his hands.
Yeah, so in a high Q professional teenager sports, all they do is have matches, but we tell stories here.
That's right.
And it's Almine just getting a microphone and him being like, Kagami, you think that you can beat me because you've activated the zone? Well, no one here in the Tokyo high school universe thinks you have what it takes to beat me, Kagami. And this Sunday at the Winter Cup Finals.
On this court, there is only one member of the Generation of Miracles.
It's time to play the game.
Okay, if Almine came out and like spit water while neon light was going on behind him, that would be pretty cool, though.
That'd be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Izuki sent down to NXT for 6 months so he can learn where the hard camera is with his eagle eye.
And then he comes back as like, Izuki goes to NXT and his name is like Brent Stevens.
His name is Bronson Brenson.
But he's Bronson Brenson, and then he comes back and his name is like Suzuki. And it's like, that we know who that is. That's that guy. Come on.
Maybe he gets to be Walter.
Yeah.
Oh, I know we're going to talk about everybody's favorite episode. What did you think of WrestleMania, though, real quick?
I was like so busy for 2 days. I was like real. I had like a lot going on. Remember, I cooked the steak. Remember?
Yeah.
It came out really good. I sous vide it. So
yeah.
But and that's kind of that takes a lot of time because you literally just put it in water and leave it for like an hour. So that took like a lot. I had to watch it the whole time.
Well, what do you but you're going to be tuning in now that they're doing all the Uncle Howdy teases, right? They're doing a bunch of Uncle Howdy teases because Bo Dallas is going to come back and be Uncle Howdy.
Wasn't that the Fiend's evil cousin?
Yes.
And so Uncle Howdy's going to pop people huge after WrestleMania.
Yeah. And also Tama Tonga is in the Bloodline now.
I saw Tama Tonga debuting and the crowd reaction wasn't even like, who is that? It was like an emotion I've never felt before.
Yeah. it was some like copyrighted WWE emotion.
Also, like, Tama Tonga joins the Bloodline is some shit I would have said like 9 months ago as an offhand poor effort joke.
And yeah.
Now that's like what happened.
It's me when I stop caring about universe mode in the game. It's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
It hit me the other day. I was like, I don't watch weekly AEW anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I just like watch the pay-per-views when I can. But like, I was just like lying in bed and I was like, fucking Kazuchika Okada joined AEW like 4 weeks ago and I don't care and I haven't heard anything about it. Like, what's going on? What is wrong? What has happened to our great nation?
Like, he's just there doing matches on Dynamite, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just like, he's working Darby Allin in like a tag.
Cool. It's like, I genuinely don't know how I would be like, okay, it's time to sit down and watch 3 hours of wrestling once a week.
No way,
because
man.
Now it's like an effort to record a podcast for an hour.
It's so hard. I hate it.
I hate doing it. Every second of it is agony. Release me from this torment.
Yeah, the only one, please, somebody be better at podcasting than me so I can finally stop.
Yeah.
Now that we've talked about Tama Tonga and Uncle Howdy, we can get back to. We learned that the zone has a time limit.
Wow, I can't wait for Brooks and Eddie to talk about the episode where they finally unlock the zone. So anyway, then Tama Tonga runs in.
So the Fiend died for real, but don't worry, because his brother that nobody likes is alive.
This is when we do get someone in the crowd saying it seemed to continue endlessly and everyone hoped it would. That's the Fight Forever moment. That's what we were
waiting for. And then time will now restart, Zawardo.
It was fucking sick when Kagami just blew past Almine and shot the pull-up three. Like, he knows he's cooking. If he's like, I'm shooting threes now, it's over for you.
Oh, yeah. That's it. And also, I believe right after that, that's when, like, Almine tries for his formless shot. Mm-hmm. But he falls on his ass into a pie tin and everybody sees and a pie tin is stuck on his ass and everybody's laughing at him. Like, very, I love the guy, but it's, you know, sometimes you just gotta laugh.
So I feel like this is a bit of a stretch because Almine's like, oh, my time limit on zone is up, but so is Kagami. Kagami went into the zone like 24 seconds after him. So he should still have, you know, because he's fighting with more than one man's strength. And I immediately think of Kogane on the bench sending.
Exactly.
That's what he needs.
I mean, it would help me.
He slapped that shit. Now, I mean, it falls on his ass and shits his pants. And
I mean, you look at Saren bench and you have like a little pleasant kitty cat man over there. And then on the other bench just has that evil business coach who looks like if you sucked all the moisture out of Professor Kukui, like he looks so bad. And
Almine falls on his ass there and gets a fast break. They bring the lead down to one. There's 25 seconds left. I'm thinking, can someone please call a fucking timeout? And I'm like, okay. Toho's coach, he gets up, which I guess you have to go and tell the ref who's sitting down at the scoreboard, hello, sir, I would like to take a timeout. And you can't just make, like, the T sign with your hands.
Right, and then the referee pulls out, like, a megaphone and says, Toho Academy is cashing in their timeout. Yeah. Are you ready? Here we go.
So he literally says, hello, I'd like to call a timeout. And then he sees Almine get up with a smile on his face, and actually he's like, no, never mind. Let the kids play. Mabo knows ball. Because he's like, why the fuck aren't you calling a timeout here? Why would you not do this?
Yeah, sometimes emotions are prioritized over strategy, if you think about it.
Someone hasn't watched Moneyball. Fuck you.
Exactly.
We need to recreate Almine in the aggregate. It's possible. We can do it.
You can't stop the game if Hyuga's out there saying shit like, stop this shot or die.
Yeah. Almine does do his behind the basket throwing the shot up shit again.
The ultimate horse shot behind the backboard, so sick.
You know, I don't care for Imayoshi. You know, I'm not a fan of his shenanigans or his demeanor.
Yeah, you're even-handed about him. I'll give you that.
But he was loving this shit. He had such a devious grin when he saw Almine make that. He's like, oh, yeah. Yes, this is why we play the game.
And also, like, the announcer at this point, he's like, it's over. It's a 3-point deficit. They'll need two more shots to win because a 3-point won't work because Saren is too tired for overtime.
We cut to the crowd, and Takao says, this isn't good, there's no time left. Ah, so you admit you like Saren, don't you, Takao?
Yeah.
You want them to win. My next note just says Kisei is glazing crazy.
Yeah.
I don't remember what he's saying, but he's just like, come on, Saren! You gotta do it! You gotta win!
Let me control F my notes and see if I mentioned Kisei at all this week. Nope.
Nope, didn't care. Anyway, misdirection overflow doesn't work, and the mushroom guy's
blocking.
They
were like, Hugo pushing up his glasses, it's time to use misdirection overflow! The camera pans over, Kuroko's lying dead on the fucking court.
He says, misdirection overflow, plus barrier jumper! And then the kid has his hand in Hugo's face, he didn't fall for any of it.
And it's like, Kuroko is spent and everybody sees it, call a timeout and get his ass out of there!
Yeah! Hyuga passes to Kagami, who goes for this dude is constantly dunking when there's like 7 seconds left on the clock.
And the thing is, he could dunk from the 3-point line at this point, and I don't think anybody would be mad about the reality of that. Like, that would just be fine. He learned to do that in America. He went to the Los Angeles slam ball court and learned how to do it.
So Almine stops it and they're doing the thing where they're like battling in the air as they're suspended in midair fighting each other. And then we get a flashback where he learned that he'll become able to move at will in the air.
Sort of a rite of postponement.
I was like, oh, kind of rite of postponement. And speaking of, he passes that shit sideways to Tepe. Bro, when the other self starts playing.
You hear those Get Me Higher guitars, yes, sir.
I felt no pain.
Yes, sir.
Let me higher, get me higher.
Anyways, Wakabatsu immediately at the foul line. Sorry that you got so hype about that. Sorry about that.
This time Tepe, he does his little hesitation jumper, and he really leaned into that foul. He's a savvy player. That's a veteran.
No,
move.
Yeah, I Wakamatsu, I'm not, you know, collecting his basketball card, but I can respect somebody who knows when you buy it on the fake, you got to punish him for it.
Exactly.
And at this point, as soon as he draws that and one, I was all caps. Oh my god, are they going to do the epic technique? Missing on purpose to alley-oop to yourself? The ultimate sport, literally my favorite thing to do in any sport.
Tepe wouldn't do something like that, though. It would be sick.
Oh, I was, the Infinity Blunt was, like, almost gone. I was tearing that shit up like Tom the Cat.
The bad thing, though, is obviously, so Tepe's going to miss it on purpose, because they can't go to overtime. They got to win it here. But since Tepe is shooting, all the short kings are going to have to go for the rebound.
Yeah.
That's fine, though, because Hyuga says we'll just put all our lives on the line to do it. Hyuga wants to die so badly. Like,
yeah, he's Lieutenant
Dan out there.
He craves death
at every moment.
And the thing is, Hyuga's like, listen, another reason why we can't go to overtime is, like, the other team has, like, a deep bench and stamina to spare. Everybody on the Saren bench has just been, did they get gassed from, like, stomping and cheering for their teammates?
Like, I don't even know if those guys go to our school. So
yeah,
I'm kind of concerned about their ability to play.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's just like the fan section from Date Co.
I think there were like four other guys out in the woods running fartleks with us, because I don't recognize any of these motherfuckers.
No fucking way have I shared a sleeping bag with Furihata?
With Tsubimishu. No, he's not there.
No way.
That's not a guy. So we have our dramatic free throw moment. He does miss it. And what happens? It's like Kagami goes for a dunk after,
goes for
again,
the putback slam, but putback
slam.
There.
Almine swats that shit away. The ball's bouncing straight to the other side of the court. And fucking Imayoshi is like, yes, success. I knew
time
exactly
for
what
the
would
killing
happen.
Blow.
Allow me to land the coup de grace. And then he says, oh no, there's a little blue boy in front of me. And he's thinking this, right? I was going nuts for this, because he's thinking like, wait, how did he get there ahead of me? Did he know that Almine was like gonna block it? Or did he know that Kagami was gonna miss? Kuroko thinks No, that's not quite right.
Yeah, dude, I was, hello? How did you get in here?
What? You can read minds? Hello?
Yeah, Kuroko, no. And then, like...
No, that's not true.
Kuroko, did you just use the fucking voice?
Yes. Kuroko explains in his mind, hopefully to Imayoshi, that he believed in both of them, that Elmine would get it, and Kagami would, like, go for it, but it would get blocked.
It's so. Basically Kuroko has two hands. Like, it's, yeah. Which one will he pick? Well, he has two hands. And meanwhile, Almine is platonically flashing back to Kuroko's very rude ice pop trick from the half episode.
When he put it down the back of his shirt, yeah.
Almine
that
was
would
like,
suck.
He was like 11 years old. You know that was his only suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he just like put an already licked ice pop down his back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, someday you'll meet someone who surpasses you. And then Kagami puts his ass on a poster as the clock expires.
Let me hire... Saren wins by 1 point. Ignite pass. Ignite pass normal style to Kagami.
Yeah. And they won 101 to 100 because the zone was 100% and they surpassed it. Do you get it?
Exactly. I'm understanding. I'm seeing. I'm connecting.
Speaking of understanding, we see Almine like rot.
He's doing the why am I so violent
troll face as he realizes he's lost.
Yeah, he has finally achieved nirvana and he is at peace with the world because he lost.
Kuroko is somehow already in his PJs and like his candle and his lamp.
I do also have the note that he looked like the benevolent troll face for a minute. So.
He did.
Kuroko's misdirection overflow was too much, and Kagami's like helping him off the court. And Emi is like, "Look at you, you piece of shit! You can't even stand." As he's like fighting back tears because he lost for the first time in his life. But he realizes the error of his ways. He's like, "The reason I lost was the difference between my basketball and your basketball."
Yeah, Tetsu won because he has like a friend or a style of basketball which he plays or whatever. Anyways, do you want a fist bump?
You want a fist bump? And this time he says you win. One less bump.
He's not the bad boy Hanamiya. He does respect his friend Kuroko.
He does. He gets the fist bump that we saw once again 2.5 episodes ago.
Yeah, and all the other Generation of Miracles guys are like, yuck, see you later, and they all walk away.
Oh, disgusting.
Let's get out of here, Akashi.
Yeah, let's scram.
Yeah.
So that's Saren did it. They beat.
They won the Winter Cup.
Bro, that was the first round. That was like the round of 32.
That's
we have a lot to go.
Like, that's I really respect that. I know that, you know, they're gonna build up other heroes and villains and stuff, but I really do appreciate them. Not making, like, I could have bought them losing to Almine here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was, I knew they were going to beat bad boy Hanamiya. If they put Kisei in the situation, like, I would assume they would beat him. Like, Midorima, I would expect them to win, but, like, Purple Man, maybe not, because we haven't really seen much of him. Maybe Akashi, probably not.
Almine, it's like, I don't know. It could go either way.
Yeah, like, I could see them saving that for season 3, you know? So I appreciate them. Fucking both barrels and the fucking round of 32. Anyways, post-credit scene, Wakamatsu's the new captain. Watch out.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. And even he's like, why are you picking Wakamatsu? Like, why would you do that? And doesn't he say some shit like, oh, he has the best demeanor to be the captain? It's like, really?
Yeah, because Sakurai or whoever is like mutilating small animals in the corner or something. It calms him down. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And then afterwards, Almine's like sitting on the stairs outside of the sportatorium.
Yeah, the stairs of healing.
And Momoi walks up and she's like, okay, say it, Almine, you're gonna say like, oh, you have huge titties or whatever. And he's just like, no, I would like to go shopping for basketball shoes tomorrow.
Would you like to go shopping for Michael Jordan's with me?
He lost one game and became like the smooth SpongeBob meeting your parents. Like that's all it took for him to become normal again.
Yeah. I did like that the boys on the team are talking about him like he's a Pokemon. Like,
yeah.
Like it's like Imayoshi, nobody can handle Almine like you. Like he's like, yeah. if an evil trainer handles him, he will become more evil.
Yeah, but you're the only member of the team who has all 8 badges and will allow Pokemon of any level to obey your commands in battle.
Yeah.
So
Almine, use practice. Almine is loafing around.
Yeah. Almine went to sleep. Oh fuck.
Fucking god. And then Momoi's like, okay, but you gotta buy me dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the Saren boys are found dead in the locker room. Very sad. Enjoy your rest.
They are just knocked the fuck out. I was waiting for somebody to come in and be like, all right, boys, next game's in 5 minutes. Let's suit up. Get into the away jerseys.
Yeah.
We got to get out there. Because I did just went back to the questions post to look at it. We do got to give a shout out to that one photographer guy who dodged the shit out of that basketball.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
He really could have died, like, honestly, from that.
Yeah, so. That was pure malice and rage. He could have died.
Exactly, yeah. Questions. If you have a question, you can send it to us at You Love to Hear It on Twitter. First one from Lisa and Al-Ghaib, Ain't No Basil, friend of the show Antigone Progeny, says, what mythical or folkloric beast could you best on the court 1v1, or at least at a game of horse? And it's like, I'm trying to find the balance between, like, yes, I could defeat a pixie, you know, but...
I mean, yeah. Mm. But, like, I know, like, I'm not... There's no fucking... I can be humble enough to be like, I'm not defeating the Minotaur 1v1.
But is it pure athletic ability, or are we using...
If it's full contact and the Minotaur can also kill you or eat you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or
I would like to think the basketball rules still apply, but also, you know, they're like... In also a way in which, like, their hooves will allow them to handle a basketball.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, if I'm you know, face up against the fucking djinn and he can turn into, like, a plume of smoke, like, I can't defend that, you know?
Right. I mean, so I did it, and they figured it out.
Mm. I feel like I might be able to take on, like, a young satyr, you know? Like, if you're on, like, hooves, I feel like you're at a disadvantage, even if you got a big body. Like, I feel like you're not as nimble doing the on-court motions that you would need on a basketball court.
I'm looking at the, like, Bigfoot, no. Werewolf, no.
Mothman, unfortunately, cannot bowl, so I could take Mothman.
Centaur, I feel like, would be overrated. I feel like Centaur would go too early in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Loch Ness Monster, easily. I could take the Loch Ness Monster, easy.
Yeah. No, yeah, so simple.
And, you know, the Loch Ness Monster is, like, the player that you see right out of high school who's, like, already 7'6". And it's just like, but it's like, they don't have good handles. Like, they're not, it's clear that, like, all they are is height. They don't have the skill to go along with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Leprechaun, easy.
Oh, yeah. See, that's like, but is the leprechaun able to, like, cast a spell or use, like, whimsy to deceive you or something?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Me going up for a layup and at the corner of my eye, see a glittering pot of gold in the distance.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mind if I do. I missed the shot. Layup.
Yeah, me looking at the like fantasy villain sidelines, and I accidentally look at the fucking Gorgon sisters and get turned into stone. Very sad. Yeah.
They all came to watch to support their friend in the game.
They're standing right behind the fucking free throw line while I'm trying to do my 1-for-1.
The thing, you know, the, like, fan sections do where they try to distract the, like, opponent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's completely cleared out behind there except for them.
Yeah,
and they're just staring you down. Oh, no.
Yikes.
Eye on the ball. Evil Pilled and Vizier Maxing, friend of the show, K Darling, says, what activities do you think you could go into the zone for? This is tough.
I feel like whenever
I get, like, 5 out of 6 in Learned League, like, I activate the
ooh,
zone.
Ooh, yeah.
Because there's some days when I'm just like, fuck, I don't know this shit. I'm getting 2 out of 6 or whatever. And then some I'm just like, easy. Easy, mastered, simple.
When it's when it's like a 19-year-old kid who was like voted superlative class clown in high school and has just been sort of coasting on that since coming to college.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes up for his first improv scene and he's like, all right, I'm gonna crush this, and he goes out and he's just like, can I get a suggestion of, like, a location?
Disney World.
Okay, he's Disney World, and he's gonna go out and he's like, I'm horny Mickey Mouse, and I wanna fuck. Like, and it's just, you know, nobody's, it's a completely dead scene. Mm-hmm. If I'm on that sideline,
you come in there and save it?
There's crackling electricity all around me. I don't like doing improv that's, like, good without me anymore. You know? Mm-hmm. I'm like Amine. I'm like, I've done good scenes before.
Yeah.
Put me in there with some people who don't know what the fuck they're doing, and I will salvage that horny Mickey Mouse scene.
Okay. And you need, you know, that, like, activation. You can't just be like, I will now enter the zone. Like, you need that that trigger to
yeah
to
I need
there.
I need somebody to go out there and be like, that's I want to ride Squirt Mountain, like, and I need, and then like I'll go out there and I'll figure something, I'll do
someone's someone's bombing, so you think, you close your eyes and think about a little blue boy crying, and you're immediately, when you open your eyes again, you're at the center stage, and it's just
I'm immediately in Arctic turn mode, like there's no stopping
yeah.
me.
Bedcot Philly paper, yeah, like immediately.
Exactly,
you don't even know how you got there.
Yeah, the orchestral just... Laura Hall music starts playing as I step on yeah. I step onto stage. Yes sir.
You love to hear it on Twitter. And thank you to our best friend of the show and above tier patrons, starting with Valerie W, Tufter McGee, The Master DS, Sylvie Bullet, So Nasty, Silvery Air, Central Kazoo, Sarah Lucky Dice Kirby, Ryan West, Reliet, Paul Blart Fleshcart, Old Petey, MJ Jenny, Matt Berger, Maggie Rice, Looker and Nanu, Laura Randall, Lanini, Don't You Be a Meanie, Labyrinth Enjoyer. I wonder who the Labyrinth Enjoyer would choose to play basketball against. Just an idea.
Oh, your Labyrinth is so cool. I'd love to check it out someday. Oh, fuck. Hang on.
Okay, darling. It Was a Penguin, Hecabee, Ducky Aisha, Derek.
Great big sword.
The New York Knicks are the 2 seed in the East.
For a second, I thought the New York Knicks were our newest patron.
The entirety of the New York Knicks Basketball Association. David Besser runs with Lesser. Chris, hey bro. Caroline Savage, Bren Flakes, Brianna, Audrey Olsen, Antigone Progeny, Anna Exby, Andres Gonzalez, Alex Moomin, Aditya Kumar, Sarah and Blair, Roy, Paul Bechtel, Patrick Gallagher, Neve Noel Williams, Josh Veal. Joquisha Joestar, Elliot Valentine, Electric Aunt, Ducky Aisha, Curscoat, Caroline Belock, Big Flat Bunt, Barrier Trio, Bing! Didn't hear it, but I felt
it. Yeah, it was small. Small this
week. And Alex Schaub. Thank you for your generous donations. And thank you for listening to Chance Ball. Did you see the preview for the next episode?
It was sort of like a silly one.
It was a silly, kind of horny.
They're at a hotel or something, and someone's pooping, and someone's naked, and there's a blonde and a banana meal. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so I did. One of the things I was thinking was, like, you know, all these episodes where they're playing basketball, it's like, they're fun to watch, but they're kind of hard to talk about, because it's just like, and then Almini does a cool move, and then Kagami does a cool move, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to be looking forward to getting back to, you know, a day in the life of the Seirin Basketball Club, and there's immediately, like, a turned away sleeping large-breasted woman from the camera, and it's like, okay, never mind. Can we get back on the what's a Shutoku up to right now?
No,
can we,
sorry, can we check next in? Episode is Rico's dad waking everybody up and being like, we're going to church. And not the cool church with a rock band. We're going to hear some hymns.
Yeah, come on everyone, up at 5:30 a.m. let's go. Ugh. Would you like to get a piece of New York Mets trivia?
Oh yeah, I'd love to, man.
Oh, Kim's gonna do this one too. You wanna join?
I just wanna hear it.
Okay, Kim, I feel like you...
I know the answer?
It's very possible.
I feel like she does.
So this is number 15 in the odds and ends section. So far, Brooks, you are 2 for 2. You have the big green check mark next
Correct.
To two questions. Number 15, okay?
Got it.
Cleon Jones and several other members of the 1969 World Champion Mets team appeared in a 1999 episode of which TV sitcom? Okay. The options are A, The King of Queens, B, Everybody Loves Raymond, C, Friends, or D, Home Improvement. I'm getting silence from both ends.
I'm going to tell you right now.
You are a big King of Queens fan.
Yeah, I'm going to say I don't think it could be King of Queens.
Why?
Because I don't think King of Queens was around in 1999.
But it's in Queens. Scenic city
but
field.
But the television show had to be in existence.
Okay, that is true. The show needed to exist for Cleon Jones to appear on it.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's King of Queens.
Okay. Brooks, any guesses?
My gut... Before I got the options, I was going to say Friends, just because I think that was going on in 1999.
Friends does take place in New York City.
What was the last option?
Home Improvement.
That one is, like, so out there that I'm finding it kind of compelling. I'm going to say Home Improvement.
Okay. He gave his answer. Do you have one, Kim?
What was the first one?
The King of Queens, Everybody Loves Raymond, Friends, or Home Improvement?
I'm going to say Everybody Loves Raymond.
The answer is B, Everybody Loves Raymond.
I got it.
I do think King of Queens was in there as the
Bruce get it
right? No, he said Home Improvement.
Do you know why I knew that it was B?
Why?
Because Ray Romano was a sports columnist.
That is true. He was a sports writer in that show.
Oh, just like in Runaways Bride.
So, unfortunately, this is going to be your first red X.
Ah!
That's fine.
I'm going to put my red X over number 15 about Cleon Jones.
I'll do better.
Put a smiley face because I got it.
Oh, and I'll put a smiley face as well because Kim got that one.
Yeah, so. I'll go back to that bookstore and I'll pick up the 1991 Mets like season guide and I'll do my homework.
Mets trivia wrong answers only. Uh-huh. You're like, okay, let's see who does better at
Ooh,
this one.
Oh yeah.
All right, so that was the trivia of the week. Do you want another true or false to maybe make up for it?
Yeah.
Let's see. So hold on. Some of these just aren't very good.
I mean, some people would say that about the Mets.
Yeah. Me watching three out of every five games.
Uh-huh.
So let me, everybody else, Raymond. Okay. So I don't know when this was published, but this is a very interesting question, I feel like.
Okay.
Number 13, Lenny Dykstra's son, Cutter. So Lenny Dykstra has a son.
Cutter Dykstra?
Cutter, is in a relationship with which actress?
The son?
This doesn't Lenny seem like Dykstra's true or false son. To me, but okay.
A, I changed my mind. A,
true or false?
Dakota Johnson. I picked the true or falses were good. It was like, is Daryl Strawberry really a fruit that you can eat? And it's like,
no.
Oh, that's a man. Yeah. So, A, Dakota Johnson.
No.
B, Leah Michele.
No.
C, Anna Kendrick. D,
no.
Jamie Lynn Sigler.
D.
Well, Brooke said D.
It's D.
It's D. You know this for a fact?
Yeah, because I looked her up recently.
Why did you look up Jamie Lynn Sigler recently?
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
I wanted to watch Sopranos. She played the daughter on Sopranos. Then I decided to look up her personal life.
Mm-hmm.
She was diagnosed with MS a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at Christina Applegate, who also has MS.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided if I had MS.
Do you have MS?
Probably.
Well, Kim,
no.
Would you like to tell Brooks what color pen I took out?
I can't see. It's green.
It's the green pen. Congratulations.
All right, let's go.
I didn't have to redeem myself because I got both right.
You double redeemed yourself.
Got it.
Because you missed the last questions. So you made up for it this week.
Mm.
So congratulations. You did get that correct. Thank you, Brooks and Kim.
No way is Dakota Johnson in a long-term relationship with Chris Martin Coldplay. There's just no way.
This, yeah, of course, everyone knows this. Well, with the trivia section out of the way, do you have a sports tweet to take us out on?
Yeah, I have a pleasant series of tweets that were dug up from Seattle Seahawks quarterback Sam Howell from 10 years ago.
Okay, I like where this is going.
That I looked up, he's 23 years old now, which seems fake, which means that he was 13 years old when these tweets were...
13 years old. Okay.
So these are four tweets that, you know, like the prompt where it's like you post like it's like 30 questions and it's like, send me an emoji and I'll anonymously, you know.
Yeah. Hmm.
So it seems like responses to these from like January to February 2014. Number one, Sam Howell says, you nice at softball and really pretty, but we haven't talked in a while. Number two, you're so pretty and you're really good at softball and I wouldn't trade you for anything in the world, baby. Kissy face. A week later.
I feel like I know where this is going.
A week later, I don't even know where to start, blushing face. You're really pretty and really good at softball, and I already miss you, winky kissy face. And then the last one, February 19th, 2014. You're pretty and really good at softball, but we don't talk much anymore.
Oh, what a shame.
It's so hard to be 13 years old and to flirt on Twitter. It's so hard.
I'm so happy at least most of the shit I was posting then. It's probably somewhere... But you would, one, have to try really hard to find it, and two, I wasn't using my real name online.
It's
you know?
Yeah, I was not, I mean, I was on Tumblr, unfortunately, which I shouldn't have been doing, but, like, I didn't know the internet was gonna do what it did.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we had websites, it was normal.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought it was really, like, it's, Geno Smith's backup is out here just being, like, Hags!
Yeah.
That was stupid. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Can I have a yearbook back? Let me try to write something else.
Yeah, who's voted most school spirit? Like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Okay.
I'll never be the Washington Commanders quarterback for a while.
for a couple years or something.
I stink.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you, Sam Howell, for making those tweets.
I hope you got the softball girl of your dream, Sam.
And thank you, Ray Walker, for writing the ultimate New York Mets trivia book.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you
to Aomine for like inventing for superpowers like and balling exactly. like that.
Thank you so much.
You know, Baby Aomine would never be on Twitter like being like, oh, I sure wish.
Or he would have an account. He would have like zero tweets following zero people. But you go to his likes and it's just like huge honkers nonstop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's it. That's all you'd he does
like,
on Twitter.
Like the mean, because like that was an age where like usually like the girls were taller than the boys. So like girls were always probably trying to cyberbully Baby Aomine for like, wow, you're playing basketball, but like, you know, you're too short. You're never going to ball. And then Baby Aomine is just like responding to that anonymous user with their IP address and like location.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
And then it's just like responses to like to fucking Jenna Jameson,
like wow, so beauty, thanks. It's just shit like that
in perfect Mandarin.
Yes, Baby Aomine shocked Jenna Jameson.
Wow. All
right, that's how you know the episode's over. Uh-huh. Anyway,
thanks everyone.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks for more of this show. Fun Point and 3-star special coming up soon.
Woo! That's right. Watch the space.
Kim just sounded so excited.
Hold on, Lucy.
Yeah, less than 2 months until Hot D's back, so we got a.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, we got some.
Are you gonna watch it? I don't know if I'm gonna watch it.
I don't know. We'll talk about it.
I might wait till the show's over to watch it. You know, like I don't want to wait every single week. Like I'd rather just watch it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just, I wish I had somebody to talk about it with, somebody who was, like, really good at softball, but oh well.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, we've been watching Shogun Tonight Queen.
Uh-huh.
That it's so good to watch a show once a week. It's really nice.
It's nice. There are some things we kind of have to return about.
Yeah, in some cases.
I'm getting that way about Coke Freestyle Machines.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of miss having the bespoke spigots.
It's like, every time... Every Coke Freestyle machine now you go to, and it's like, try the new Fanta, like, Demon Blast.
No.
I'm like, I'm not gonna get Demon Blast Fanta.
No, I'm like, the guy before me got water, so there's, like, some water droplets in my Demon Blast, and it's watered down a little bit.
I'm gonna accidentally get too much ice and then have to shake it out, and then we're gonna get 50% Coke and 25% Lemon Coke and 25% Lime Coke. That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, and now they're doing the politically correct shit where it's like you have to put your cup down and it has this like a little sensor in it and it's like you've already activated 28 ounces of your refills today.
I don't think we have the woke freestyle machines yet, but
oh well, it's already come to Florida in a big way due to woke Ron DeSantis's far left campaign.
I know, destroying our movie theaters one at a time.
So yeah, I'm trying to fucking see what's a movie that's in theaters now.
Oh shit.
What's
I feel like you
would
know better than I would.
Civil
Monkey Man.
War.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes. Real movies that exist.
Yeah. I'm going to go see Sasquatch Sunday this fucking...
That's not real.
Or Sasquatch Sunset this Sunday. I will...
That's a movie. That's a film.
I will say, we're going to end the episode soon. Have you seen Monkey Man?
I want to see Monkey Man.
I saw Monkey Man this weekend. It was good.
Oh, okay. How many stars?
I think I gave it 4. Dev was looking quite nice in it.
That makes sense. Yes, I'm expecting a 4-star appearance.
Yeah, imagine. I mean, like even like Dev Patel was like, it's reductive to call this like fucking Indian Monkey Man or Indian John Wick, mm-hmm. but like, it is like he him being in the suit and like doing cool like non-gun kills, but like wearing like a cool monkey mask instead. It's like
mm-hmm.
he looks good in that suit. The mask is cool. I wish I had more action movies to like compare it to, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's like if Dev Patel was in Crash Fully Loaded or whatever the fuck, High Voltage. That's the one.
Crash. Yeah, Crash Fully Loaded.
It's like Dev Patel was in Crash 2 the Wrath of Cortex.
I was going to say, that sounds like the 8th Crash Bandicoot game.
Yeah.
It was on like PS4 somehow.
Yeah,
like,
Crash 4 Time is on My Side, starring yeah. Dev Patel.
Exactly. Anyway, thanks for listening to this show.
Anyways, check out Uncle Howdy on Raw this week, and we'll see you back here in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.